Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you could see God right now, what would he look like? This is Wretched Radio. You say God is spirit. We can't see him, but Jesus is still incarnated. Jesus is still in the flesh, and he is currently seated on his throne with a resurrected body built for eternity. And we can imagine what would it look like to actually behold our God, which, if for no other reason, gives us the opportunity to listen to this grand anthem from California Baptist University. Orchestra. Just that, behold our God seated on his throne, courtesy of a book that was recommended to me by one Milton Vincent, by a Presbyterian named Garrett Scott Dawson. He's First Presbyterian Church in North Carolina. We all know where Lenoir, a French name in Northern, so it should be Lenoir. I guess with kind of a French Southern thing going on there, a book that focuses on the ascension of Jesus Christ, and it is worth casting our gaze on the incarnated Savior to ask and answer some questions that do indeed have profound implications for your Christian walk, how you respond to worldly pressures, and how you go about the business of having confidence in not just the reality, but also the necessity of the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, I have to confess to you, this book, it is heavy, Mrs. Marsh. It is not a lightweight treatment. So I grant you, some of this is going to be like, woo, because he quotes a lot of early church fathers. Not all of them sound in every regard, but one thing that will be revealed to us, they were smarter than we is by a lot. they thought about the incarnation of Christ? Honestly, when did you consider the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ? We think in flesh, Christmas. No, his entire life incarnated. He died and rose again, incarnate. He ascended into heaven, incarnate. He is currently in heaven, incarnated. When did you think about that last? I have to confess, I hadn't. So when I heard a sermon from Milton Vincent commend this book, I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. He said he never realized the importance of all of the implications of the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ. So let's dive in. This might crack your head open like a melon. I grant you that, but it'll be good for you. Let's do some tough sledding from the book by Garrett Dawson. The third day he rose again from the dead, and what? If there had been no ascension, what would have happened to Jesus? If his new life doesn't continue, he would have died again. And therefore, death, not life, would have had the last word. The resurrection requires an ascension to be completed. If Jesus continued to live but never left us, sending us the Spirit, would not have happened, and the church would not have begun. Here's a quote. We also, in our heart of hearts, tend to slur over the risen manhood of Jesus, to conceive him after death simply returning into deity, so that the resurrection would be no more than the reversal or undoing of the incarnation. It was not. It is ongoing, and there are big implications. Our salvation depends on his continuing union with us. You say, wait, what? I thought it is finished. It is done. But the point that this author is going to make is if Jesus had abandoned his flesh, it would have been akin to abandoning us as the God-man. Here's what he said. Any view of the ascension as Jesus slipping off his humanity is a sentence of condemnation. If the one who sits at the right hand of God is not still fully human as well as fully God, then we will never enter within the veil. Whoa, big enough implication for us yet. If he dropped the hypostatic union with humanity, in other words, God, man, two distinct natures, one person, if he dropped the hypostatic union with humanity and just maintained his deity, then he dropped us. And we are left forsaken on this side of the great divide, unable to fulfill our purpose, find forgiveness and restored communion, or enact mission. In other words, we need an incarnated Christ. In no way did the ascension simply signal a return to business as usual between God and humanity. The ascension of the body of Christ is a vital hinge on which turns the work of the mediator in all of his offices. In other words, the ascension was a very big deal. Isn't it fascinating? We tend to put most of our energies into Christmas, a little bit into Easter, none into the ascension. And yet, if this author is correct, our eternity hinges on Jesus Christ still being incarnated. The ascension marks a turn in Christ's prophetic office. He is gone, but the ascension provides the necessary prelude to sending the Holy Spirit. In his flesh, he left so he can send his Spirit. The ascension signals the completion of Jesus' priestly act of atonement. It is done. The ascension completes the triumph on earth of Christ's resurrection and his demonstration of kingly glory. He's seated on a throne. He's actually seated as a man on the throne. The recovery of the ascension in the life of the church offers a bracing corrective to one of the most prevalent problems we face in the West, an over-identification with the present age. You've heard the saying, well, if you're too heavenly-minded, you're of no earthly good. The ascension would say, you ain't no good on earth if you ain't heavenly-minded. If you are not beholding our God seated on his throne, no, you're missing out, and you're going to feel the pressure of the world. John, now this is diving into how Jesus was taken up, because Jesus used the term anabeno. Talk to Mary, John chapter 21, John 3:13. referring to his ascension as a return to the heaven from which he came. And the word basically is that Jesus lifted himself up. But there are other times in Acts 1, verse 2, 11, 1 Timothy 3:16, analambano, just a different, you hear the same lambano root, anabano, lambano, you still hear it, but he was taken up. So who did it? How did Jesus get to heaven? Did he raise himself up to heaven? Did he ascend into heaven, or was he ascended, if you will? He was picked up and taken there. And the answer is a definitive yes. It was Trinitarian. That is how Jesus got there. The ascension was an act of the triune God, just as the incarnation, baptism, ministry, and resurrection involved all three persons in the work of the Son. As the Son of God returned to his Father, as the Son of Man, ever obedient, he allowed himself to be taken up by the Spirit under the decree of the Father. That's a Trinitarian power demonstration we see at the ascension. Another reminder why we believe in the Trinity. There is no other way to harmonize the Bible without the Trinity. You can't do it. Because you see, for instance, Jesus raising himself, ascending himself. No, he's being ascended. Well, which is it? Yes, it's the Trinity at work. Never did Christians believe Jesus had gone to a place that we could locate. So that raises a question. Where exactly is Jesus right now? Next on Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We cannot thank our loyal monthly gospel partners enough for consistently helping us strive to touch the lives of millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your unwavering support means the world to us. Literally, just like this testimony we received from Beth, who said, quote, "Because of Witness Wednesday, I'm now able to articulate the hope inside me." And hey, Gospel Partner, your contributions made that possible. Now, if you're listening and you're not yet an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner, well, hey, what are you waiting on? We're ECFA approved, which means that you will have no worry at all about where your money's going. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry efforts. All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you wanted your brain to break, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Jesus Christ rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. We sometimes say it if we still use creeds in our church, but we don't give it much thought. And we should spend more time considering the implications of the ascension. And I will say this, if you perhaps, maybe it is possible that because of the intensity of your theological studies about your God, you maybe feel like I've pretty much studied all of it. Well, here you go. The door just opened up to a warehouse full of theology, implications, and encouragement from the doctrine of the ascension of Jesus Christ. The early church fathers thought long and hard about this subject, and for good reasons. According to a book that I'm holding in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers called Jesus Ascended, The Meaning of Christ's Continuing Incarnation, the case is made that if Jesus is not currently in flesh, fully God, fully man, the hypostatic union, it is still operative. If that is not true, then guess what? You ain't going to heaven. Because if Jesus dropped his flesh, he dropped you. And that should give us the shakes, and it should encourage us. You know, that makes sense, doesn't it? And that's why we see an ascended Jesus Christ. We have the Savior we need. If you could figure it out, you couldn't. But if you could figure out, as an unregenerated person, all right, what do we need in a Savior? You might say, well, okay, we need a sin bearer. We get that. What kind? An animal? Well, that doesn't seem sufficient, doesn't it? It has to be a human being. Furthermore, that representative needs to actually represent us, so it can't be a cow or a chicken. It's got to be a human. But wait, the sacrifice of one human for the forgiveness of the sins of another human, that's not sufficient. Well, so I guess that man would have to be God. Well, then it would be a demigod. No, we can't have that. Because that would mean that some humans are better than other people, but it's not fully God, it's a demigod, so it would have to be fully God, fully man. We could perhaps, maybe, sort of intuit that, perhaps. I think that's the mystery that's been revealed to us. But he's exactly the Savior that we need, and we need him to be ascended. We need that, and we have that in Jesus Christ. But it raises some questions, and this book written by Garrett Scott Dawson, while a bit of a brain breaker, asks and answers these questions. For instance, where did Jesus go? We know that he ascended. The clouds consumed him, perhaps the Shekinah glory of God receiving him. Where did he go? How did he get there exactly? From the book, never did Christians believe Jesus had gone to a place we could locate. If we just had the right NASA equipment, we could, nope. What? Do we place Christ midway among the spheres, or do we build a cottage for him among the planets? Where exactly is this God? And basically the answer given is, you can't figure it out. This is another one of those mysteries that I don't think we do well to dive into too deeply, because I think it causes too much speculation. And when you're speculating, speculation can produce more speculation, which can lead to more questions and confusion and lack of assurance. Nevertheless, from the book, the language used to describe the ascension necessarily points to realities beyond human comprehension and a greater weight than our words can bear. To say that language about heaven is symbolic is not to say it is untrue or inaccurate. Rather, we're recognizing that human language is simply inadequate to fully describe the realities of a higher order than we can comprehend. We try with movies, don't we, to come up with these dual worlds or a new environment, a new atmosphere. Well, we imagine it. God has accomplished it. How is Jesus breathing in outer space? I don't know. And neither does anybody, but he's there. And we accept that by faith, because he's done everything to give us every single reason to believe that every single thing that he has ever done or said is actually true. Jesus has a glorious resurrection body. So this is now answering the question, where is he? You ain't going to figure it out. What kind of body does he have? He has a resurrection body. And this is important for you because you're going to get one too. He's fully human, but it is fitted for heaven. It's the same body. Well, it's not the exact same body. He gets his and you get yours, but it's built for forever. Philippians 3:21, 1 Corinthians 15. You get a new body, no different than the body he had when he was here. So when you and I get to see Jesus, it's the one that we read about every day. That's the Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee. That's the Jesus who fed thousands right there. That's his body. The ascended body of Jesus has been adapted to a heavenly habitation, and so will your bodies. All frailty, every earthly blemish has been transformed. Christ Jesus, the man, is in heaven with God, still incarnate in a spiritual body, but in a realm beyond your comprehension. Now, if your head isn't cracking yet, hang in there. This was written a little bit before 389 AD. Gregory Nazianzen, he refutes two mistaken notions that about the incarnation. This is hard, but I'm going to read it at the risk of doing bad radio because it is a reminder that people used to think biglier than we do. They were smart. These guys were not knuckleheads. Listen to this language. If any assert that he has now put off his holy flesh and that his Godhead is stripped of the body and deny that he is now with his body and will come again with it, let him not see the glory of his coming. For where is his body now, if not with him who assumed it? For it is not laid by in the sun, S-U-N, nor was it poured forth into the air and dissolved, as in is the nature of a voice or the flow of an odor or the course of a lightning flash that never stands. Gotta tell you, that's just good writing, isn't it? He didn't just echo away and disappear. He's got his body. Where in that case were his being handled after the resurrection or his being seen hereafter by them that pierced him? For Godhead is in its nature invisible. No, he will come with his body. If anyone assert that his flesh came down from heaven and is not from hence, nor of us, though above us, let him be anathema. Okay, a lot of prepositions going on. You don't believe in the incarnation of Jesus, the ongoing incarnation? You're outside of orthodoxy. These days you've got charlatans just massacring the Bible, all sorts of chicanery being introduced to the church. Then you've got apologists defending their nonsense. And this guy is saying, you don't believe in the ongoing incarnation of Jesus, you're a heretic, you're out. They understood the importance of this. The Godhead isn't stripped of humanity. It's adorned with it. The incarnation was not a lightning strike. Brilliant one moment, gone the next. No, Jesus Christ is in heaven, remaining one of us. And that is crucial because if he doesn't remain one of us, we're in trouble. We don't have a representative anymore. What kind of space is he in? The ascended Jesus, confined by space, is yet unlimited in his power to communicate all of his blessings to his people. The one who departed from earth sends his spirit to them. So he's in heaven, but he sends his spirit to be everywhere with us. And yet, isn't Jesus also omnipresent? Yes, he is. But wait a second, he's contained in a body. Yes, he is. And that raises an interesting ponderance, doesn't it? When Jesus Christ was here on earth in a body, was he still reigning in heaven? I mean, if he's omnipresent, he could not get rid of his attributes. Did he stop being God? And the answer to that is no. He was always fully God. In the incarnation, he was continuing to uphold the universe by the word of his power. Quote from John Calvin, "Indeed, if this foundation is overthrown, our whole faith falls into ruins unless we still recognize Christ's humanity, all the assurance and comfort that we should have in him perishes. In other words, the doctrine of the ascension, it ain't nothing to overlook, and it's nothing to trifle with. I'm just thinking about all of those ridiculous Sunday services that are performed on Easter. Wouldn't even ponder such things. And certainly 40 days after the resurrection, when Jesus ascended into heaven, it just... Now, maybe if you're liturgical and you remember you've got your pericopes and every church Sunday is already ordered for you, you'll remember such things. And I do believe there is benefit in that. But what a shame, what a shame, what a shame that all too often we fail to consider something as glorious and crucial as the ascension question. When he ascended, what did he do? What happened when he entered heaven? Next on Wretched Radio.